Zach XBT ties $475K in frozen Bitcoin to an elder fraud mule on-chain investigator. Zach XBT traced roughly $475,000 in frozen Bitcoin back to social engineering scams that targeted elderly Americans, according to CoinDesk's report on June 19, 2026. The thread he pulled started in an unusual place. A suspected money mule direct messaged him asking for help recovering the frozen funds. That request is what cracked it open. A person sitting on suspicious Bitcoin reached out to the most followed blockchain sleuth in the space to get his money back, and in doing so, handed over enough to trace the coins to their origin in elder-targeted fraud. The trail started with a request for help. Money mules are the people who move stolen funds for someone else, sometimes knowingly, often not. A mule receives funds, forwards them, and takes a cut, putting distance between the original scammer and the victim's money. When the Bitcoin in question got frozen, the mule appears to have assumed the funds were legitimately recoverable and went looking for an expert. Zach XBT is the wrong expert to involve if you are holding tainted coins. He has spent years mapping wallet clusters, exchange deposit addresses, and the laundering paths behind some of the largest crypto thefts on record. Once the mule surfaced with the frozen wallet and a recovery request, the on-chain history did the rest. The trace led back to social engineering operations that prey on older victims in the United States. The amount, around $475,000, is small next to a protocol exploit or an exchange breach. The mechanism is what matters. No smart contract was hacked. No private key was brute forced. Someone was talked into sending money, and the loss then disappeared into a chain of wallets, until an investigator reconnected the dots. Most crypto losses are conversations, not exploits. The headlines that travel furthest are the nine-figure bridge hacks and the validator-level failures. The losses that hit individual holders look nothing like that. They look like a phone call from a fake bank, a romance built over months, a tech support agent walking a retiree through draining their own wallet, or a fake recovery service charging a second fee to people already robbed once. Elderly victims are targeted on purpose. They tend to hold more savings. They are less familiar with how irreversible an on-chain transfer is, and scammers know a convincing authority figure can override caution. The U.S. Federal Trade Commission and FBI have both documented crypto-denominated elder fraud as one of the fastest-growing categories of reported loss. Once the Bitcoin leaves the victim's control, there is no chargeback, no fraud department to call, and no central party that can claw it back. The only recourse is the slow forensic work of tracing where it went, which is exactly what played out here. This is the gap that self-custody does not close. Holding your own keys protects you from an exchange going insolvent or freezing your account. It does nothing if you are persuaded to authorize the transfer yourself. The attacker does not need your seed phrase when they can get you to press send. Frozen does not mean returned. The Bitcoin in this case is frozen, not recovered. Freezing usually happens when laundered funds touch a regulated venue. An exchange flags the deposit, and either the platform or law enforcement halts movement. That stops the coins from being cashed out, but returning them to victims is a separate, slower legal process that often stalls. Identifying a mule in the scam behind the funds is the start of that process, not the end of it. For anyone holding crypto or helping an older relative who does, the practical takeaway sits before any of this. Treat unsolicited recovery offers as scams by default, since fake recovery services are a documented second strike on fraud victims. Verify any official outreach through a channel you found yourself, not one handed to you. And remember that the irreversibility that makes self-custody powerful is the same property scammers exploit. There's one bleakly useful detail in this episode. The mule did not get caught by surveillance or subpoena. He volunteered the wallet himself to the one person guaranteed to follow it home.